because the guy has a pretty shit story, like, behind it. But, like, he's got a bad story, but a lot of it's self-inflicted. He was a drunk. You know, someone dies, and then his child dies. I mean, that's rough as fuck. You know, so there's a depression there.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just everything else that goes with it. But, and I know this sounds callous, but that's 20, 30 years ago now. Like, man, I would hope, you know, you don't forget about it, but you would hope that the depression has been lifted. Like, if, and what I'm going for is, like, if you're depressed like that low, you're not taking care of yourself. You're not taking care of anything. I mean, you can look at him. He's not, the other guys in the band look fine, except for Mick Mars, because that's a disease. So.
Oh, what does he have?
I don't know, but basically it's like the joints are basically like turning into cement.
Oh, gross.
So he has like a really hard time moving.
Oh.
That's why he just stands there. He can't.
There are some shit diseases out there.
Yeah. It may not be like exactly that, but that's how they described it. So he even said, he's like, it's very hard to be on stage with these guys running around, the crowd jumping, and I just have to stand there. And people think I'm not into it. And he's like, no, I am into it. I just can't move. And that's why, like, that last concert thing, or the last tour, was supposed to be the last tour. Because they weren't sure his health he could keep it up. So that lasts a year. And here they go on the road again with poor old Rockney's Mick Mars and stiff fingers. I mean, how hard would that be to play guitar with that happening, you know?
I guess I don't know how he is playing guitar. Like, I don't know how he doesn't sound as bad on guitar as Vince Neil sounds in vocals. You know?
Yeah.
There's just a dexterity to playing guitar that requires that type of movement. Like, you know?
Yeah.
What do you do there? I don't know how you, how, because, like, I'd think arthritis would do the same thing, you know? Anything that would affect your hands would just be a problem.
Yeah, I mean, anything. Well, I mean, yeah. even like your shoulders, elbows, all that stuff. I mean, you got to hold the guitar a certain way. I mean, and I'm thinking just like logistically, if that's going to be tough, and then let alone, yeah, you're right. You got to play notes. If you can't move those fingers, like, I don't know. Maybe they're tracking it. I don't know. I wouldn't think so, because it sounded live. Like, we play, which I know you can, like, make recordings that sound live, so.
Oh. Yeah, so what you're telling me is that I should really look forward to the Motley Crue part of the tour.
All right, here's the thing. All that being said, when we saw Motley Crue here in Charlotte, that was a good fucking show, dude.
Well, yeah.
Got right by it, and I was like, this is good. Alice Cooper opened, and he did the whole 70s shtick where he, like, had, you know, Feed My Frankenstein. He, like, brought out the guy and, like, cut the head off and all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
Got his own head cut off, and the monster grabs the Alice head and all this, and I'm like, all right, this is so kitschy, it's awesome. And then Motley Crue came out, and dude, you know, they started with Kickstart My Heart, and you hear that first, wong, 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 everyone goes ape shit, and I'm like, this is fucking awesome! Because the music is still, I mean, you know, bad fingers, hips and all, it sounded awesome.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. With the X, we saw Poison a couple of times at the amphitheater, the now defunct amphitheater here in Columbus, and they always put on a great show.
Yeah, I had to go to a Poison show as well, and I think I've told you about this. Is when where Jackal opened, and we got to see Jackal. The world's biggest Jackal fan. I told you this one, right?
Who's the world's biggest Jackal fan? I'm not sure.
So, So first, we're going to Poison, not my show, obviously. She wanted to go. She loves Poison. Cool. I mean, hell, they were our entrance song for the reception, for God's sake. So, rough crowd, dude. There were some women there that looked like they were still following them. They were still the... This one, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they have not vintage... I'm sorry, they have vintage shirts. As in, they've never gotten rid of them. So, that being said... We're there, and Jackal starts. And we've all heard the Chainsaw song. That's all I know about
them. Oh.
Well, they're from around here. They're from Columbia, South Carolina, something like that.
Oh, okay.
So they're from around. They're from here somewhere. Huge reaction. People going crazy for them. And I'm like, really? Fucking Jackal? Okay. I was like, how many songs have the Chainsaw in it? Because that's the only one I'm going to know. And this guy, like, we had lawn seats because I'm not paying... sit underneath that stuff.
Oh, hell no.
For $30 more, I'm on the other side of the rail. No thanks. But, this guy is going for all their songs. I mean, running back and forth. He actually, like, it hadn't filled in yet, so he was taking the seat next to him and was, like, banging the seat against the back of the seat. And he's like, yeah, just running back and forth. And then his girlfriend's just sitting there like, oh, God. And then he really lost his mind when they start playing a song. Oh. And the lyrics are, my moonshine kicks your cocaine's ass.
Oh.
And I was like, I kind of like that. I actually kind of like that lyric. So I was like, all right, this song's kind of banging. And then all of a sudden, that guy's losing his shit. And there's like a little place in between... I think it's for the handicap seating.
Oh, yes, usually.
And there were no wheelchairs there, though. So he's just running around like a maniac, all by himself, all by himself. Takes his wife beater off, starts, you know, one-man T-shirt above the head thing. Security comes over to him, and I'm like, oh, what are you doing? I was like, he's harmless. He's not bothering anyone. There's no one else around. So puts his shirt back on, and I'm like, they're kicking him out. Oh, this is bullshit. Well, he goes over to his girlfriend. He's talking to her. You can see her, like, pantomiming. I'm like, what? He's like, come on. And I'm like, yep, they kicked him out.
Oh.
I was like, this is crap. Well, all of a sudden, they go down the aisle. They take a left, which is the way out. And then they take a right next to the far wall. They lead him all the way up to the front of the stage. He got upgraded. For his behavior. And I'm like, that's awesome. And you could see him going fucking crazy the rest of the show for them. Now, I don't know if he stayed there after that, but I'm like, you know what? Sometimes things do warm the heart. Like, that guy was so into the show, someone in like that, their management or someone noticed, and were like, get his ass up here.
Oh my gosh, no, I don't think I've heard that one before. That's hilarious. That is awesome.
Yeah. And I was honestly happy for the guy. So that then Jackal does the Chainsaw song, right? And to prove it was a real chainsaw, he goes, hey, oh, you brought your little girl? Hey, bring her up here. They brought a 7-year-old girl up on stage. He gave her the chainsaw. He goes, here, just pull this and just hit the top of that. He had the 7-year-old girl take the chainsaw and cut his stool in half. And I'm like, this isn't safe.
Like, oh my God.
Who the hell thought this was a good idea? And he's like, all right, let's hear it for her. And she got to keep the stool. And I'm like, what? It's a weird parting gift.
Oh my gosh. Yes, yes, it is. I don't know what you're going to do with that. Are you going to glue it back together so that you have a full stool? But then you point out the, you know, the cut mark in it to say that's where you cut it?
I guess. I mean, yeah. But no, that show was pretty crazy. I mean, people drunk everywhere, and I'm like, I gotta I got to be drinking for this. Like, this is going to take a while. And it was good. I mean, not my favorite band, obviously, but I know a good show when I see one.
You know,
showmanship when you see it. So,
and yeah, that's something that I know I didn't really value all that much back in the day, but I think Rob Zombie was the one who flipped me on that, just because his shows were so creative, even though he ran around like a crazy person and couldn't sing because of it.
Yeah, I don't think he can do the deep stuff anymore either, like the deep growl and that.
I've
seen some shows and like online. I'm like, not really. So,
yeah, that doesn't completely surprise me that he's lost even more range. The guy didn't have a lot of range to start with.
Well, no, when you're like, I don't know, like you hear, I think one of the more unheralded bands actually, White Zombie and Rob Zombie. You hear the songs, you're like, okay. Then you hear them on a big sound system, and you go, okay. Like, oh. These songs are not meant to be played with earbuds. Like, this is club music, you know?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was definitely, I don't feel like I've heard it in a while, but Rob Zombie definitely held in the hockey rinks for quite some time.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, you hear Thunderkiss, 65.
Oh, yeah.
You hear it in your car, you're like, all right, I like this song. You hear it on a sound system, you're like, whoa, this makes way more sense. Because there's no, like that song, there's no big guitar. It's just kind of crunchy.
Oh.
And it goes just the dun, 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 dun. Even that's like too hard for it. It's a clean metal lyric. And then all of a sudden it just kicks in, and then his voice just complements everything. Like, goddamn, man. I've been listening to White Zombie again lately. So, again, we can talk about this all day too. So.
Well, I started recording sometime around the Motley Crue talk.
That's fine. No.
So, this is Kevin DeFranco. That was Jeremy Mays. And that is Angel making a guest appearance, I would imagine. What's up, buddy? Coming down to the podcast with us? Yeah, I don't think we're going to get any good wrestling content out of the cat, but we can try.
Oh, yeah? Better than with the bullshit that's on Raw. what a dull-ass show. The only good stuff. I like Drew doing the story thing, whatever. The interaction with him and Lashley was good, but to say that you're having a cage match so no one can interfere, you've just guaranteed someone interferes. You know, your audience isn't that dumb. And especially with the potential rumors of what SummerSlam's main event's going to be, it just seems like, okay, sure. But the other big thing that stood out, and we texted, and I think we talked about this last time, that promo between Kofi and MVP was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
We did not talk about... they've just done different promos back-to-back weeks that have both crushed. So, yes, we did talk about it last week, but it was also a different promo. I'm really enjoying the interaction between MVP and Kofi. Like, it's, if you just give me a supercut of the segments that MVP is in, which means the Bobby Lashley segment and then the Kofi segment, like, yeah, that could probably do me good for Raw, and you could leave everything else out.
I just don't understand how, and MVP was right, we had all that Kofi Mania stuff, and I think we did talk about this last week, and Kofi just, it wasn't taken seriously enough. And then the Orton thing went out too long, he gets bitched out by Lesnar and never gets to face him again. And it's like, yeah, we all forgot about it. So MVP was absolutely right in that. Like, yeah, what happened with it? And ever since, like, all of a sudden these last few weeks, Kofi's been, you know, far more interesting to me. I guess, like, all the goofiness that they do with the New Day, and that's what, you know, that sells their merch and sells it to kids and sells whatever, so I understand. But this serious side of Kofi is kind of what people were expecting or wanting or thought was going to happen once he became the champion. And now it's like, and I'm not saying it's too late, because if this keeps up, there's going to be a demand again when they start going to live events, you know?
Oh. Yeah. I mean, I feel like there was a little, I think there was a groundswell even when this started happening, you know, this angle started to take in fruition that, well, not even the Kofi MVP part, but, you know, the possibility of him taking on Bobby Lashley for the championship. I think a lot of people are like, yeah, his time was cut a little bit short here. Like, Kofi deserves more. Like, he has been around there a long-ass time, and he deserves at least as many major championship runs as The Miz, for God's sakes.
Wait, who had more, as many runs as Miz? Wait, what?
The Miz, yeah, wasn't he the WWE champion? It's at least twice, and I'm thinking three times.
No, it was just twice. It was John. He beat Randy Orton, then won at WrestleMania, then lost, and then Miz won. That got crushed by Lashley because they presented him as an absolute goofball. You know, running from Lashley and all this. And then Lashley just destroyed
him. That was just his second championship?
Yeah.
The recent one?
Yeah, that was the whole point with Miz, is it's taken him, I think he said 11 years in between to even get another shot. So.
Yeah, well.
Like, whatever. Speaking of, why was the Miz out there? Why was John Morrison in a match when he knows he's tag team partner can't actually wrestle? And also, Lince Dorado, his partner was hurt, but he's still in the... Like, what are we doing? Like, is there a big Lince Dorado, like, fan base when we need him on TV? I don't think so.
I he's one of those guys where I guess I like him, but... You know, he just belongs in that category of, if you're not going to give me anything to attach to him, like, don't force it. You know, like, and it just, they kind of feel like they're forcing them a little bit. Although, did they have one promo here recently? But yeah, that's not enough, though.
No, wait. Oh, yeah. They had an inset. Yeah, I don't mind those. I don't mind those insets, actually. Because sometimes it's all you get.
Well, and I feel like I kind of like that inset that him and... Because who else is still left? Is it... Because was it Kalisto that got let go?
Yes.
Okay, so... Oh, Grand Metalik.
Yes, I can't remember who
it is the other one. And I kind of like the promo that they did. So, I mean, I feel like they're capable, but I also feel like the WWE doesn't care enough about them to make them worth my while. You know? Yeah. So, yeah, he shouldn't have been out there. It's just a single... wrestler. Like, that was just kind of silly.
In a tag team battle royal, there's single wrestlers who didn't, all right, and to be completely real about this, didn't even matter. They were the first two eliminated.
Oh.
Which logically makes all the sense in the world. In an illogical, like, presentation, they use a logical solution. Like, how about you just do this? Don't have him in there. You know? Like, what are we doing? But, and then the rest of it was fine. The Viking Raiders acting like total nerds afterwards. Yes, tag team, you are already the champions. Remember when you used to run through everybody? Now all of a sudden you're just like, oh, yay, we have another tag team title, man. Like, shut up. And then Omos shows up eating a turkey leg, which is just a visual that I thought was just bizarre. I don't know why. It just was. And that dude is jacked. I did not understand that.
Yeah, I'm like, God damn. I was like, he is in really good shape for being that tall.
I thought he was one of these like skinny minis. Oh. I had no idea how big that man was.
Yeah,
he started going to the tighter clothes, and then now they got the sleeves off, like a slow reveal, basically. But I'm still not sold he's going to work out, but, you know, whatever. Right now it is what it is.
Yeah, it never hurts to have one of the best wrestlers ever as your tag team partner to help carry matches that you're involved in.
Yeah, well, it also helps. He does all the work. You do a few things. Although, the other week he did a bunch. And I know it was just like some standard moves, but for him it was still a bunch, right?
So
AJ Styles could jump off of him, which is kind of funny. But I don't hate that team. I thought I was going to, but now that it's like actually like a mutual respect thing, or Omos just puts up with the goofy little guy, it kind of works.
Yeah, it's one of those two things. They haven't completely spelled it out since Omos still doesn't really do a whole lot of talking. But that's, you know, whatever. That part doesn't need to be determined right now. Just
right.
Let it be a little nebulous.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. But, like, the RK-Bro stuff's still good. The chin beard on Randy Orton, it's just weird, man.
That was one where, I think it was last week, I went, when did Randy Orton grow a beard? Like, I feel like he's had some level of stubble for a really long time. And he never, ever let it grow fully in, but I also didn't feel like he had shaved it completely. And I was just like, when the fuck did that become a full beard? Like, I was like, did it just take a week for him to get that to fill in?
I guess so. Yeah, you know what? You're right. He didn't. Did he have a beard for a while and then just shaved it off so that was there?
I don't know. That just came through really quick. his beard. But it does look weird. Like, just because I don't feel like he ever really, like, I feel like he's usually a scruff guy and not a full-on beard, goatee, like, you know, I mean, Triple H went through phases of, you know, the Chester A. Arthur and all kinds of other different facial hair looks.
Yeah.
You know, Randy Orton doesn't really see, he's either completely shaven or he has just... you know, some level of stubble. So when he actually goes full on beard or something, it's a little strange.
Yeah, well, Triple H I think needs to get rid of the beard now. That thing is aging him so much. You know, just go back to the stubble like it used to be. So, oh god, there she is.
Yeah, there's probably a good reason I don't want to grow facial hair anymore.
Well, some of us don't have hair on top to cover up, so it just looks like I look like a blob without mine. Like, I've lost 30 pounds now, but I still got a ways to go, so I'll get my full neckline back, and then I'm going to try getting rid of this thing again, because, you know. Yeah. I've gotten so used to it. It's just, sorry, Elisa's coming home, so I just want to make sure I responded back. But yeah, this facial hair is the easiest way to change your appearance. because it usually comes back pretty quick, depending on who you are, obviously.
Oh.
You probably have a full beard by, what, Friday? So.
Yeah, things, I mean, I could go for, I could get a goat in, at least a half-decent goat in a week. So, yeah, it's, I guess that is possible if Randy Orton had started at stubble that he has the beard that he has in a week. And now that I'm thinking about it a little bit more. But he still does look funny with it.
Yeah, it's just weird. It makes his chin look longer. You know?
As if he needs to look longer.
Yeah. But it also gives him not an evil look, but a more, I don't know, domineering look, I guess. To where Matt Riddle, who's not that much younger than him, is supposed to be the kid.
Oh.
So you need Randy Orton to look older and, you know.
Yeah, more dad-ish.
Yes. So, but yeah, I'm still digging that. I didn't actually mind Riddle losing because he lost to Kofi.
Oh.
Because right. Kofi is, as they present him now, he is a level above Matt Riddle. For now. I know they're both in tag teams, but they just had Kofi going through beating Lashley by whatever means, you know, and then having stellar matches with the former champ, Drew McIntyre. So it makes sense to me why Riddle would lose, regardless, you know, story, whatever. So.
Well, yeah, the story definitely helped out, too, with Riddle trying to be too much like Randy Orton.
Exactly.
So. You got a couple excuses for Riddle to take that L.
Yeah. And honestly, it's, you know, it's not the NXT Matt Riddle anyway, so it doesn't matter.
No, but they're, again, like, I guess they're finally moving him away from, mentally challenged to at least competent.
Yeah.
You know, like that character was just too dumb to be taken seriously. And
yeah,
even though he's
far too Spicoli.
Yeah, he's still doing some goofy stuff, especially the whole key system that him and Randy Orton have for him talking now.
I don't mind it that much because he's treating him like a child, you know, and that's what you do.
I'm enjoying. I'm flat out enjoying it. Because it, you know, it's goofy, and just the way those two are interacting is a lot of fun. Like,
right?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't seem like Randy Orton's acting. Now I'm sure Matt Riddle doesn't act that way behind the scenes, right?
Oh,
but like not that over the top. But can you see those two like hanging out in real life? No. Like, Randy's like notoriously grumpy. All he wants to do is work, enjoy himself, and go home. You know, like he's treating like a regular job, like everyone else should. Which we need to get into in a second, but I'll explain.
Oh, okay.
So, but it's like okay, like. It works because it seems real. Like, Randy's like, they got muscle for me. Fine, let's just do this creative bullshit and move on with it.
Well, and that's one of those things that's kept... I mean, Randy Orton, A, one of the pandemic MVPs, but B, he's been one of those guys that has found a reinvention of his character on a lot of different occasions. And, like, you know, he kind of knows when it's time to move on. You know, I think he has a really good sense of that. Especially recently where, him being Psycho Killer again, it had a shelf life. Like, it was good to bring it back, but having him play this kind of... you know, weird sitcom dad situation that he has going on now with Riddle is just another one of those ways where it's just like, man, this guy has really kept his character fresh for, you know what, he's been around 20 years or something like that, and somehow he's still pretty fresh, like, in the scheme of things. Like, that's impressive.
Well, Randy's one, remember, when he gets hurt, he takes off. You hear nothing about him. And then he just shows up. And then suspensions, whatever else. And then, like, now he's a dick, but, okay, and this is a big problem, and I noticed this with NXT as well. Not so much SmackDown, but definitely with these two. There are way too many heel versus heel people. Heels versus heels. Like, NXT opened with Austin Theory and Oney Lorcan. And then Johnny Gargano and Pete Dunne got into a fight. Like, well, I don't care. You're all bad guys. You know? And then Randy Orton went from being a bad guy to being kind of a bad guy with Riddle slowly becoming a little more of a jerk. Like, is that what we're supposed to be going for here? Because Orton just, like, you know, almost put Edge out. You know what I mean?
Oh. So,
what the hell's going on? And they're like, all right, why the hell am I supposed to cheer for Jackson Ryker over Elias? And I'm being dead serious. Like, I know Elias says the bad guy stuff, but why should I care about Jackson Ryker? I don't care.
And that guy just got even more plain.
That's a bad cut, man. That's a bad haircut for him.
It's just like, oh my gosh, like, he doesn't really stand out to start with. So, giving him a bland haircut, I mean, not that I think that the long hair was anything, any sacred cow that shouldn't have been cut, but I guess I don't feel like they have that many of the guys with long hair. So it at least kind of distinguished him a little bit. Although, I mean, he's taking on Elias, who does also have long hair. And we were talking about Riddle just prior to this, who has long hair.
Yeah, and Drew McIntyre has long hair.
Yeah.
But anyways, but no, it's just joking. But it's like, okay, so they got those two. Then you have Shayna Baszler and, not Alexa Bliss yet, Reginald fighting last week. Bad guys. The bad guy tag team is having issues. No one cares if a bad guy tag team is having issues. Or in this case, bad girl tag team.
Issues.
No one cares. Like, you have to give me a reason to cheer for one over the other one. And you never have. Like, in fact, you gave me a reason to cheer for Reginald. Or Reginald, excuse me. And then, what? And then now I'm supposed to choose between Shayna Baszler and Alexa Bliss? While I'm supposed to choose between Charlotte Flair and Rhea Ripley, who I think is a face? I don't know. While she takes on Nikki Cross and Asuka, like, there's too much blurred lines. Like,
no.
Honestly, is Rhea Ripley supposed to be a face? Exactly.
I don't know. Like, because it... And, yeah, it's just one of their major, major flaws right now. You know, I feel like we kind of talked about it. We've talked about it a little bit here recently. But, yeah, the Shades of Grey stuff isn't really cutting it. Like, you need to give us a reason for why they don't like each other, and they haven't really even done that. To me, a heel versus heel matchup has always been more natural than a babyface versus babyface matchup.
A babyface matchup is always fine when there's a title involved.
Because
you can have a respect thing. The fans aren't into it that much. A bad guy versus bad guy is, to me, a little weirder. Because you just want to see him. You don't want to see either one of them. You know what I mean?
But for me, two heels, like you said, like you can do a babyface respect match, especially with a belt involved. To me, since heels are always arrogant and self-centered, I feel like they should have problems with other heels more because of their temperament. Just
okay,
at a base level, you know, a babyface really should get along with pretty much any other babyface.
Yeah.
Just in the generic scope of things.
And isn't that how it kind of used to be? Like, all the baby faces got along? Because, like, when a championship would change hands, all the baby faces would be out there.
Oh, yeah, celebrating.
So, yeah, I mean, that kind of proves your point.
Yeah.
Like, even with, like, tag team matches, sometimes bad guys walk out on each other. Oh, like Elias did on Jackson Riker, and it's just two bad guys. And they just, like, you know, both dicks. And not... Hey, I'm gonna cut my hair so that everything's cool. No.
Yeah, everyone's gonna cheer for me now that I cut my hair, huh?
Yeah.
No.
Well, the bad guy walked out on me. Well, that makes him the good guy. You know what I mean? Like, he realizes you're a dick too. So, blah. Anyways, no. The show's a goddamn mess.
Oh.
And there's one thing we haven't talked about yet.
What's that?
They've taken probably the biggest badass champion from NXT. Asuka was a badass, but she was like an honorable one. Shayna Baszler was a dick. And she cheated, and she retained her title and lost in big fashion to Rhea Ripley. She comes to Raw, has been just nothing. It looked like she was getting somewhere with Becky Lynch. And now she's fighting in a supernatural storyline that is just... Even The Fiend didn't do this, by the way. That I remember. Doing all this garbage. I hate every second of this. Because Shayna Baszler should have been like, you're a doll. Threw it away. And beat the shit out of Alexa Bliss. The end. Or Alexa Bliss is powered up, and all of a sudden Shayna Baszler is like, "Whoa, wait a second!" And they're actually fighting, you know, because it's still you know, simulated sport, so that can happen. Instead, we get all this garbage with her run, like,
I thought that she did a good job of hamming it up for this angle. I see where you're coming from, though, in that what they've done to her character, they've tried to maintain the shape of the character, but it's been a little bit tough to maintain that image, honestly, since the beginning of the Nia Jax partnership. You know, because
I actually thought that partnership was working finally.
Well, I do too, but the whole Reginald part has turned Shayna Baszler has shown a side that I guess I wouldn't have expected out of her in this whole thing, because I think that she has provided the comedy with Reginald around. You know, because she's still being a little bit of a dick because she's always a dick to Reginald.
Yeah, yeah.
Individually, I've enjoyed her work, but yeah, the storyline presentation of it, I don't care for because I still don't understand why Reginald and now Lily are... main plot line devices. Because Chris and I talked about this a little bit too. Like, when's Alexa Bliss attacked Baszler, but it was still a really limited interaction. And it's just like, I just feel like they still don't trust Alexa Bliss in the ring for whatever reason.
She had that nasty concussion, and ever since, she's barely been doing anything.
Yeah, and it's just... They've been teasing her in-ring re-debut or whatever you want to call it. Because I want to say that I think Chris found the number somewhere that she's wrestled 8 matches in the last, or 8 matches this year and 20 in the last calendar year. And most of those were tag team matches with Nikki Cross.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I forgot about all that stuff with Nikki Cross. That's right.
So, you know, she's had a really limited schedule, and I guess I just still want to see more from her, like, to get invested in the storyline. Like, to me, she's done so little recently that Baszler should really just bowl her over, unless they, you know, to me, they still made a mistake coming out of the gate with The Fiend and making him indestructible.
Oh, of course, yes.
You know, it's okay to have a supernatural heel who is occasionally immune to pain. It's another thing when, you know, you can survive pretty much getting lit on fire. Although he didn't really survive that. But, you know, they gave him too much invulnerability at the start to make him put him in believable matches moving forward.
Oh yeah.
So well, like, I don't know. Roman,
they built up so much, and as soon as he didn't beat Brock Lesnar, it was like, oh okay, well, all that was for nothing. Or no, I'm sorry, it wasn't Brock Lesnar. It was Roman Reigns, wasn't it?
Correct. Yeah. Reigns beat The Fiend.
Okay, yeah.
To capture the championship.
No, I'm going back to when, remember when Strowman was just tearing stuff down, lifting ambulances and all this, and then didn't beat Roman Reigns.
Oh.
And it was like, okay. And then there was the stuff with Brock, and then lost, what, twice to him? And it was like, okay, well, this seems kind of pointless. Like, cool, you can tear a stage down, but you take an F5 and you're done? Like, okay? So, yeah, just, whatever. CM Punk nailed it. Did you see that tweet after those releases?
No.
Basically saying, you know, the only reason people watch wrestling is because they like wrestling. That the people who are still watching, even they know it's not good, but they enjoy watching wrestling. And his whole like analogy was, you know, imagine like a movie studio having an endless budget and putting out this trash, and then going, well, people still watch. Yes, but people still like watching movies. And I actually understand exactly what he's saying, and I'm butchering the tweet, but like, I'm on a deep dive spiral of 80s, like, Road Warrior, Mad Max ripoff movies right now. And they're garbage. I mean, they are not good. But they have 80s titties, which we've talked about in the past. Probably the best era for them. And then, two, there's a certain charm in how bad they are. Because they are legit trying to make a movie. Unlike like Sharknado 5 or whatever else, where they're just doing like, this is purposely bad.
Oh, do not malign the good name of Sharknado, sir.
Dude, the only good one's the first one.
Because
again, they're making a real movie that was idiotic.
Nah, there's at least one other one that I liked. It might have been the third one. But anyway, it's been some tough sledding in general in the WWE. Because, I mean, I feel like we spent most of last year talking about the fact that we'd be cool just watching the pay-per-views. And my opinion hasn't really changed that much. Like, I could really use to just watch the pay-per-views. Like, that would honestly be enough for me. Because there are just so many rematchups with people. Like, even though they have this giant bloated roster, no one new gets trotted out, and the people that are just sitting in the back are just sitting in the back.
And there's apparently a lot of people sitting in back. So, because all Raw gets is the same damn people with the same dumbass stuff. And just, all right, WWE has such a big roster, even though they got rid of people. We still get the same goddamn people all the time. Then we get, and I honestly wonder how much Raw is going to change once they start going back on the road. Can you imagine them pulling this Alexa Bliss stuff off in front of a live audience?
No, and that's yeah, that's gonna need to stop here sometime. You know, you can pull off some of this stuff, but not all of it. You know, like you always have those lights out moments in an arena, but yeah, it's not the same as what they're doing now, unless they're just going to do backstage film segments.
Then, I mean,
You know, and just put them on a
you're right.
screen for the crowd.
But imagine they're having a match. Say they have a match in front of a live crowd, and all of a sudden the lights go out and Lily the Doll like sets the ring on fire or something. They're gonna boo that shit out of the building.
Hey, I'm all for it. Like, because that's one of those things that I have no reason. Like, when they come to Columbus, like, I do not feel the urge to go at all. Even if it's a taped show, like, I don't know that I want to spend the money on them currently.
No, they're coming here to Charlotte, and I looked at tickets, and tickets are very reasonable. Like for close to the floor, on the floor, they're only like $30. So they're just trying to get people out. But there's, and I was talking to one of my friends here, Shelby, because her and her husband are big fans, and she goes, "You going to the show?" I'm like, "No." She's like, "Why?" I'm like, "Give me something interesting. Tell me something interesting I'm gonna see." I'm not. I got into this last time. Most of the guys I like aren't around or they get fired. So why am I gonna get behind anybody knowing that's gonna happen all the time? Or the possibility can happen. You know, remember how big of a Strowman fan I was, man? I still love Bray Wyatt. The Fiend thing is a little weird, but I still love Bray Wyatt. Where the fuck is he? Gone?
Yep. MIA.
Someone posted a photo and it was all of these guys and there was only one person left. And there were like 12 of them. And it was only from like 2 years ago, something like that. And it was like, Jesus Christ. And you see, like, it was like Gallows and Anderson were in there. Bray was in there. Strowman was in there. I think Matt Cardona, Zack Ryder.
No.
I think Miz may have been in there. So maybe it's two guys. But then it was Bray's Bo Dallas and, oh no, Curtis Axel.
Oh.
Which, by the way, the B team, that stuff got over. What did they do? Killed it. Because it wasn't a Vince creation. He wasn't behind it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Even if they, I didn't expect them to become anything crazy. You know? I mean, when you're literally called the B team, like, I'm sorry, there's just kind of a ceiling to your team. But you know, you might get one of those, hey, you've been around for a long time, we're going to give you a title reign finally. But they still could have been useful in a tag team division that is always in desperate need of bodies.
Okay, you're right. Like, but again, it's like, oh, well, tag teams, well, whatever.
Well, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They are paid no mind. Tag teams are.
Yeah. Oh, no, God, no. Like, why would they be? I mean, even, like, NXT has more tag teams in NXT than there are in WWE, in Raw and SmackDown. Like, legit real teams, if you think about it.
Yeah.
So it just shows you, like, whoever's in control is the one that's going to... Sorry, I'm trying to grab a beer. Well, cider, but... It's whoever's in control makes tag teams viable, which is just insane to me, because remember when we were young? Remember all the tag teams that were there, and, like, you were invested in pretty much all of them to a certain degree?
That, to me, is probably the weirdest aspect of Vince. Almost the whole time we've been on Stunt Granny, we've made fun of Vince's lack of trust in tag teams. Even though, yeah, like, a large part of our childhood and a large part of Vince McMahon's success involved tag teams.
Yes, absolutely. One of the biggest matches at WrestleMania 2, because they spent months building it up, was the British Bulldogs defeating the Hart Foundation.
Oh.
No. It was the Dream Team. Excuse me. It was the British Bulldogs defeating the Dream Team. Because they built that up. That was one of the big events. I mean, not the main event, obviously, but it was still one of the big events because people loved the Bulldogs. This is before Matilda. And, like, one of the biggest upsets in WrestleMania history was when the Sheik and Volkov beat Wyndham and Rotunda. Were they called the U.S. Express, or am I making that up?
It's possible.
It sure as hell sounds like it, right?
It sounds accurate, but I wouldn't put money on it either.
Okay.
I don't have any confidence in my own memory. Like, yeah. It sounds reasonable, but, yeah, I'm not completely sure.
But, I mean, look at WrestleMania 3. You had the Bulldogs and the Hart Foundation with Danny Davis, obviously. Who else was on there? Sheik and Volkov took on, was a Killer Bees, right? That's when Jim Duggan made his appearance. There was even midget tag team with King Kong Bundy splashing the shit out of...
Lord Littlebrook?
Was that who that was?
I can't remember. It's either him or... wasn't it an Indian-themed little person on Hillbilly Jim's team?
I do not remember.
You're going to force me to go to Wikipedia here, aren't you?
But it's like, even then... They had tag teams. Like, there was even, like... Well, sorry, it was midget tag teams back then.
Right.
And I'm sure I'm forgetting some other stuff. But, like, tag team wrestling has been the crux. WrestleMania 4 or 5, where Strikeforce broke up when Rick Martel walks out on Tito Santana.
Oh, and that was heartbreaking.
Dude, that was actually kind of surprising. Although, I mean... All right, do you remember when Strikeforce beat the Hart Foundation for the tag team titles out of the blue?
Yeah. I was pretty crazy psyched shit about that.
Yeah, actually, I was too. Even though I liked the Hart Foundation, but I was like Tito Santana. Me an idiot, but I was like Tito.
Haiti Kid and Little Beaver.
Yes. How awesome is that name as an adult? Little Beaver.
Because Lord Littlebrook was with King Kong Bundy and also Little Tokyo.
That's, I was like, who's the Asian guy? I couldn't remember if he was Japanese. Like, yeah, Little Tokyo. Fucking. We'll never get something cool like that again. I don't care. I don't care what it ever. Oh, you shouldn't. I don't care. It's awesome. I mean. Anyways, so Little Beaver was the Native American, right?
Yeah, there were five tag team matches at WrestleMania 3.
Okay, I knew I was forgetting some other. Who were the other ones?
Can-Am Connection versus Bob Orton in Magnificent Morocco.
Oh my god, I forgot all about that. Yeah.
The six-man with the little men.
Yeah.
The Dream Team versus the Rougeau Brothers.
That's right.
Danny Davis and the Hart Foundation against Tito Santana and the Bulldogs. And then Sheik and Volkov against the Killer Bees.
That's right.
Okay. That was the popcorn break match before Hogan and Andre.
Yes. Hey, if you want to come down, there it is. So, you know, the Killer Bees never won the tag team titles?
Not surprised by that.
I was, because they were always featured. And remember when they started putting the masks on and started cheating as good guys?
Yes. Yes, yes, but yes. It's
like, at one point, you had the Hart Foundation, Strikeforce, Killer Bees, the Rockers, Twin Towers. Sheik and Volkov were... they kind of think they may have broken up by then.
Did you have the Powers of Pain at that point, or were they gone?
They may be coming in later.
Okay.
But, the Italian Stallions? Remember it was just Paul Roma and Jim Powers, and all of a sudden they came out as the Italian Stallions, so they were a real team. The Rougeaus, as you just pointed out.
Yep.
Like, all these teams. And they were always involved in something. The Rougeaus and Bulldogs, I believe, started the first SummerSlam. And it went to a 20-minute time limit draw. I believe that's who that was. I know it was the Rougeaus for sure. But, and then, oh, that was yet Demolition. God damn, I don't know how to forget about them.
Right.
You know? So.
Yeah, that's why that has been one of those things that, over the 13 years of Stunt Granny, that, I mean, we have made fun of tag team wrestling because it's never really been concentrated on that much. Like, it's just been a couple of little small time periods. You know, when we had the whole Christian and Edge, Hardys and Team 3D situation going on. And then when you had Usos and the Wyatt family, and New Day, you know, was another at least small dose of tag team wrestling in what has otherwise been an oasis of tag team wrestling.
Yeah, but I think you're discounting a little bit there, though, because Edge and Christian, the Acolytes, or APA, whatever, too cool. Don't forget how big they were.
Huge.
Road Dogg, you know, DX, whatever.
Oh, yeah. New Age Outlaws.
The biggest criminal act WWE ever did. When you had Mark Henry and D'Lo Brown as an over tag team, and they never, ever got a shot at the tag titles.
Oh.
You had, for a little while in there, you had the Headbangers. Well, Terry Funk and Mick Foley, whatever. They were barely around as a team.
Yeah.
The Los Boricuas. What was the biker gang?
Oh, DOA.
DOA? Okay, DOA. Then the Dudleys came in. Then Edge and Christian came in. That's 11 teams that, like, in the mix at one point.
Yeah. You
know? So, it's... There was, like, that heyday, and nothing. Because it really is. They broke the Hardys up. Edge and Christian broke up. The Dudleys went their separate ways because of, you know, whatever, the draft. And then they start putting, like, hodgepodges together.
Yeah. So,
but, yeah, but it's like ever since then, tag team wrestling has not been important. And I know they tried making a resurgence, and there was a little bit for a while. There were a bunch of teams, but no one got used. Like, the idea that they broke up Heavy Machinery and now Tucker doesn't even work for them anymore is just kind of insane. Because they had that banger-ass match with, was it the Usos? Or,
probably.
But it was a surprise match. It may have been, I don't think it was the Bludgeon Brothers, but it was a surprise how good it was. Because Tucker and Otis were going crazy all over the place. Like, I've never seen him do this before. And they never got anywhere after that. So.
I don't know why Vince doesn't take more time out with the tag teams. Like, he just, he sees those single stars and he busts out of the tag team mold way too early these days instead of letting it simmer.
And now he doesn't really have tag team, he doesn't have breakout stars in tag teams. Think about it.
Yeah, I mean, he tries, because, I mean, just like you were talking about with Heavy Machinery, they thought that Otis was ready, but, you know, I mean, they pulled back on his push pretty much immediately after he won Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, oh, we fucked up. It's just
They did give him Mandy Rose. They gave him the whole Mandy Rose thing, and then they killed that. So,
right.
He did have a little bit of a run, but yeah, you're right, you know. But look at American Alpha, how they destroyed them.
Oh.
And then they split him up so Jason Jordan could become, like, the guy for some reason.
Yeah, I'm not sure that American Alpha was long for this world if Jason Jordan still has the physical problems that he has.
Well, sure, but that was a year or so later. I mean, they just broke him up for no reason.
They did break him up for no reason.
Yeah, so maybe a year later, but it's like, okay, and then you break up Otis and Tucker, and then put Gable and Otis together. Like, what? Okay, I mean, it's not bad. At least they both have something to do, but goddamn, man, you know? So, but there's really, like, I would say Jason Jordan was, what, the last, like, breakout star in the tag team? And, you know, the quality of the breakout star has gone down because of his injury, obviously.
Right. But, yeah, I would have expected him to be the breakout star of that team. As much as I liked Gable, I kind of always knew that he wasn't going to be in a position to really excel in the WWE.
Right, especially with his size. That was always going to be the detriment. And then they cut his hair, so he just looked like a short guy with short hair. You know?
Oh.
The hair gave him the personality. The looks were good, whatever else. But, you know, it doesn't matter. It's go to the CM Punk thing. All you're doing is playing and directing and acting for the one guy who doesn't care and whatever. But to that respect or that aspect of it. So what I was referring to earlier, did you see Ken Anderson, you know, of Anderson and Gallows fame?
No, that's Carl Anderson, not Ken Anderson.
I said Ken, didn't I? Sorry. Yeah. It's my dad's name, so it's a little easier that way. But, no. So, Carl Anderson, thank you. He tweeted out, enough of this bullshit, thanking the person who just fired you. He goes, there's time for that later on, but right now, like basically saying, quit sucking up, they're not hiring you back. He's like, they fired you for no reason. And here you are, like, sucking their dicks, basically. It's pretty funny coming from him just because we know, like, what happened with him. But then I wanted to get into this last week, but we didn't. I don't think he's wrong. Like, everyone going, thanks, you know, thank you for this, and I'd never get in with it. No, they fired your ass. For no reason. Like, so they can save $1 million off of their $5 billion TV deal? Like, get the fuck out of here. So.
Yep. I mean, I thought we got into that well enough last week, honestly. Because, yeah, I mean, kind of like Andrade, they're going to have a job. If they want to have a job in wrestling, yeah, they're going to have a job in wrestling. Like, it's hard to feel bad for them. And it's also hard to go, like, if Braun Strowman wants to wrestle somewhere, someone's going to sign him. If he doesn't want to wrestle somewhere, he's not going to sign them. You know? There isn't going to be some weird, mysterious force keeping him out of wrestling. You know, the WWE, they're not going to go anywhere, but I also think that it's going to be easy for us, like, I guess that's one thing about just this show in general. We can talk about any wrestling we want to. Mm-hmm. Or any show that we want to. Like, it doesn't need to be about wrestling, necessarily. Yeah. But, I mean, I'm kind of okay, and it's just kind of funny. We've gotten to this point without talking since we're well over the hour mark already. About the wrestling that we do like that's produced by the WWE.
Yeah. Well, I think part of that is NXT, for a show before their pay-per-view, or whatever they want to call them, was just okay. They tried a lot. They tried to fit a lot in. Because that is this weekend, correct?
Yeah, it's on Sunday.
Okay.
It's pretty weird when you create, not to say that there isn't some storyline going on there, but having a six-man winner-take-all match, it kind of seems like there should be a little more build-up than what's happening with MSK and Bronson Reed taking on Legado del Fantasma to get to all belts are on the line status.
I was surprised by that. That seemed like, oh my god, we got to get these guys on the show without getting them in one-on-one matches yet, because you can't do MSK and you can't do the tag team again. You just did that 2 weeks ago for free, which is part of NXT's problem. You're giving away these matches for free. But it used to take weeks, if not a month or two, to build. That's what I was trying to get at last week.
No.
Like, even this five-man match, why? I mean, this hasn't been built at all. So, you know, a five-man match like this, I understand you're trying to make Karrion Kross look like an absolute monster. I understand that. But unless he's going to the main roster, what's the point of him beating all these guys? There's no one left. They don't have anybody in the chamber for him.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that you usually have this type of match after the champion has beaten all of the challengers, and then, like, that's his next obstacle. But that isn't the case. Like, he had a singles match against Finn Balor, and Finn Balor is about the only one not in this matchup. You know, and you can't go back to that well, because Kross had a definitive second win against him.
Yes, I mean.
So like you said, like, these five guys are really the only five guys that can take him on, and Can you tell the story of a singles match between him and any of these other guys? Yeah, you can, but you've really kind of had him punk them out a little bit also.
Yeah. Like, especially, like, this week he even said to Kyle O'Reilly, who are you again? Like, wait, no, don't do that. You know, like, wait a second. But I'm trying to think of, like, who's in the chamber. If he wins this match, who could be next? I honestly don't know.
I mean, I guess if Bronson Reed lost, you could put Bronson Reed in that spot. But they wrestled against each other not that long ago.
Right. And he already went against Pablo Escobar. Santos Escobar. Which, by the way, yesterday, Elise and I go for a walk like three times a day. I've never seen this man before. This guy's running, and he's clearly Mexican. He's got like long, stringy-ish black hair, kind of a bigger nose, darker. I'm like, is that fucking Santos Escobar? I'm being dead serious. I honestly thought that was him. And then, of course, rational mind takes over. Going, why is he going to be in Charlotte? Dumbass. So I told her, because I was talking to Elise, immediately just stopped talking. She's like, you okay? I was like, I thought that was Santos Escobar. She goes, was it? I'm like, no. I was like, well, he could live here. I'm like, no. NXT's live on Friday, on Tuesday. He can't be here right now. Oh, okay.
Oh, man. That's hilarious.
Yeah. But I was seriously marking out, like, oh my gosh, I think that guy's awesome. I really enjoy his little faction. Because he even said this week, instead of being mad that they lost, he even said, you cost my friends their title chance. You know? It wasn't he was mad at him for losing. It wasn't like, oh, I'm going to discipline you. No, it was they would have won. Except you interfered. Like, he's got their back. I think that's kind of refreshing. Because even Walter was getting all over his guys, you know?
Oh. Well, I guess when you have someone in your group unceremoniously be part of one of the house cleanings, that storyline becomes necessary, unfortunately. Still kind of a weird writing off, just because people aren't normally written off that way these days.
Yeah. But no, NXT was just weird to me. I don't understand the Million Dollar Man thing. It seems just like a kitschy gimmick. You know, like, Cameron Grimes doesn't need that title. LA Knight doesn't need that title. It's like everyone knows. It's like remember when Ted DiBiase gave it to his kid?
Oh, yes.
It was like, no. It's not like it's not the gimmick. Like Cameron Grimes needs to keep going with the way he's going. The doofus burn like I guess maybe this is a generational thing because we remember what Ted DiBiase was like, right? He's a dick.
Oh, right.
Why would he willingly be giving his belt away to anyone but his kid? Why would he even be suffering these two fools?
Yeah,
you know?
Well, that's the part that's kind of weird. Like, both of them have screwed up the whole time since DiBiase has been courting them, I guess you could say. You know, the Million Dollar Man's beaten Cameron Grimes at all these different auctions. So he shouldn't be that impressed with him to start with. And then the one match that LA Knight's had since having DiBiase sort of on his side, he lost.
Yeah.
Even if it was from a distraction, it's just like, yeah, it's another one of those ones where you could probably tell that story, but they didn't do a good job of connecting the dots.
No. And especially, it rang hollow for Cameron Grimes, as much as I enjoyed this. When he started going off, he's like, you said it wasn't about the money. He said it was what happened between this ring and in between these the squared circle. And no one can touch me in here. And I was like, holy shit, that was really cool. And then when he climbed up the ladder, he's like, you know, I got me climbing this ladder, but I don't see what I'm supposed to be going for. It was kind of like, it was kind of a smart-ass thing to say.
Oh.
It was a confident thing to say.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, you know, he's got his voice, whatever. Which goes against what he was doing, but I enjoyed that. And that was like, okay, and LA Knight's just standing there like, oh, like, okay. Like, I liked the comedy part with him smoking like a Cuban cigar.
Oh.
And then what, he's drinking scotch or brandy or bourbon, whatever it was. And going, oh my God, you should try that. Like, have you tried this before? Like, I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
But isn't he supposed to be the country caveman or the caveman? Like, what was it? Oh, fuck. I forgot what it was supposed to be. But they alluded he was from the mountains. Wouldn't he have tried moonshine? So, like, whiskey would be nothing.
Yeah. Some of that moonshine is very strong. So, yeah, I don't. Sometimes the taste isn't the same, though.
No, if you can get a good moonshine that doesn't burn that bad.
Yeah.
And I actually enjoy it. Like, and then you've got the psychos around here who get their second uncle's cousin or something, who are basically distilling moonshine like they do on the TV show. And then they go, all right, it's a little harsh, hang on. And they put cinnamon sticks in it, let it sit for a day, and you're just drinking cinnamon water. And then the next thing you know, you're naked on top of your house, screaming out stuff. Like, how the hell did I even get up here? I don't see a ladder. So, I love fucking moonshine, though. Goddamn, we have some in the freezer.
Yeah, so I could see Cameron Grimes reacting to it that way, just because, hey, you know, maybe the moonshine that he's been drinking is just better than whatever, was it bourbon? Well, yeah, I don't remember what he's supposed to be drinking. Not a whiskey.
Really said.
Yeah. So, but yeah, Ted DiBiase, like, he still doesn't have any investment in either of these fools, and it just doesn't make a lot of sense for the belt to be around. To get back to the main point of everything.
Yeah, but no, it's so that like that stuff just rings hollow to me. I don't think any of it's necessary. I didn't mind if, like, Ted DiBiase came out with his guy. You know, because Ted's obviously not going to wrestle, but have his guy in Cameron Grimes fights. Have his guy be LA Knight. Because LA Knight, you know, he's supposed to be an actor? I don't know what he's supposed to be.
Have no idea.
Yeah, but now all of a sudden he has a huge house and, like, women around. Okay. But it would have been better if he was like, yeah, I just paid this guy because he's shallow like everyone in Hollywood. You know, just something like that.
Oh.
Kind of put him down, but just like he's just a hired gun or something.
Yeah.
And then you have your feud that way. You don't need a $1 million belt. You don't need Ted DiBiase interfering other than he just wants to put the country bumpkin, you know, like, I'm real money, you're not real money. That sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah, and there hasn't really been much of that interaction either.
No. No, he's being, like, way too nice.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense. So, but I have no interest in seeing a ladder match with LA Knight and Cameron Grimes, though. LA Knight's whatever. I'm proud of myself. I haven't said Eli Drake. That's about all I got to say on that one. Cameron Grimes is still great. I think they've derailed him a little bit with this stuff. When he came out, was cutting all that stuff, he should have been shot, and I almost said to the moon, but he should have been pushed forward a lot more. Not losing a match, or losing two, I think. And that's another thing that's very Triple H has gotten very WWE with. Their guys have to stop losing matches. Their undercard has to stop losing matches. Have dominant wins. Have dominant people. Like, this is the clear echelon. Like, here's tier 1, tier 2, tier 3, but all those tiers are doing good because there is a tier 4, 5, and 6. Where those guys can bounce around wins. It's fine.
Yeah, they haven't done quite as many squash matches. Although they did have one this week with the grizzled young veterans.
I'm starting to like them, man. It's actually wearing off to where, you know, Zach Gibbs is pretty sharp on the mic.
Yeah.
Like, what was... They were talking about something smelling. It was such a dumb line, but he said it, like, just so perfectly that it didn't seem forced or anything. I can't remember what it was, but I love the fact that he goes, "We're done with you guys. How many times do we have to tell you?" Like, it's a very smart thing to do. We don't sweat you because we don't have to wrestle you. And then, of course, they do. But, you know.
Oh.
Fuck out of here. So.
Yeah, they mopped the floor with him, too, as they should have.
Yeah. No, the Ciampa Timothy Thatcher thing is kind of weird to me, too. They're just kind of like, okay. I don't think Ciampa should have cut his hair. I think him going as old man Ciampa was much better. Like, just cranky old man. Just wanted to beat some ass, you know? But it's aesthetics for me. That's all that is.
So. But fair enough.
Austin Theory, Oney Lorcan, good match. Didn't mind Orny winning because he doesn't win much. And it was kind of clean, even though it was kind of a weird interference there.
But, oh, yeah.
But yeah, but that's okay. Like, that's that tier 4, 5, 6. I don't mind. Austin Theory is 23, I believe. He has plenty of time. And the fact that he's able to do some of this other stuff to build up his repertoire of character work, in-ring work, out-of-ring work, promos, all that, that's very good. Because he used to call himself the future of wrestling when he was in Evolve. And yeah, I mean, the guy's that good. I know you probably haven't seen too much. He's really good.
Oh. Yeah, so, I forget what moved. Oh, he pulled off that, what is it, slingshot, would you call it? Spanish fly? I actually thought that looked more believable than an actual Spanish fly.
He did that in Evolve, too. I can't remember what it was.
But
it doesn't seem as contrived as a Spanish fly.
Yes.
Well, a Spanish fly off the top rope is always contrived. I guess you can get away with it off the ropes because you can use someone's momentum, I guess.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. You can at least do that.
The women's stuff is fine. Ember Moon's cool. She's not going to beat Raquel Gonzalez. Let's get that out of the way now.
Oh, no. The
Dakota Kai is so good. I don't know what else to say. That woman is so good. Just at little things to where I think everyone just takes her for granted because she's skinny. Like, compared to like some of the, especially Raquel, obviously Raquel.
Yeah.
She looks smaller, but she's so good.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think there's a reason she's still kind of involved in the storyline. Like, when they eventually have a beef with each other, it'll be fun. But I'm also glad that they seemed like they were hinting that was going to happen. And I'm glad that it definitely seems like that has taken a back burner. And it's not going to be until we're down the road a little bit further.
Yeah, well, I'm guessing when Dakota Kai gets called up, that's what that breakup's going to be. But I kind of like it. I know it's a bad guy, bad girl team, but I kind of dig the fact that they're still friends. Like, Raquel obviously has something that Dakota wants, but yet there they are. Still friendly, still backing each other up. It's kind of cool. It's more like what a face team would do. But you know it's going to get tiresome. There you go. Mercedes Martinez just bitch slapping that poor woman. I enjoyed the hell out of. And then Mercedes getting up and goes, "I'm not like the other women." And I was like, "Hell yeah, you're not." Yeah, I think I like the women's stuff more than I did just about everything else. Io Shirai coming back, being all goofy, weird, good. Glad she's back. I wish she was on the main roster, but then again, I don't.
yeah, I don't want it. For her own sake, I don't want her on the main roster.
But then again, like, what does she have to do? She can't say. Raquel. Wait, did she ever get a rematch? I can't remember.
No. Did she say she was going to take some time to kind of clear her mind or something like that? And she did that. But it, her against Candice LeRae, I thought was kind of an interesting comeback position, since, you know, Candice is in a tag team right now and a tag team champion. But I mean, I guess they've done that on the main roster when a singles competitor doesn't have any more matchups to throw them in a tag team division. I suppose I could see her getting pulled into the tag team division if the WWE so chose.
Yeah. Hey, what happened with Shotzi Blackheart? Is this a storyline injury? Because I don't remember her being injured. It would not surprise me, mind you. But where'd she go?
Unless, I know that her dad, I would think that it's past time, because her dad passed away recently.
Oh, you know what? That may be it.
I'm not sure if they're finally getting around to something, or if she's finally taking some time for that. That would make a great deal of sense to me. That's the only thing I think of, because I can't recall seeing an actual injury report for her somewhere.
Okay. I wonder if that might be it. Because, yeah, didn't he pass away the day that they won the tag team titles?
No. They won the titles, but it was soon thereafter.
Okay.
You know, maybe a month max or something crazy like that. Like, it wasn't a lot of time.
How horrible.
Yeah.
It's funny how, it's not funny, but it's like you get older and that sort of stuff, you're like, ugh. You know, because we have old parents.
Uh-oh.
So, we've talked about, I don't know if we talked about this off the show or on, but, you know, we're closer to that day coming than we are it not coming. You know, and that's just old age, hopefully, just old age.
Yeah.
Let alone, I think, and Shotzi's, which I think is actually her stepfather, right?
I don't know. She talked about him raising her, so I'm not completely sure what her parental situation was like as a child.
Okay. So it's like but something like out of the blue like that, just, it's got to be devastating.
Yeah.
You know, so, and especially when your creative is smart enough, they go, hey, you need to take your time off, go. And then we can have Ember step in, which I wish they would have built us up forever, because they were talking about how she was a champion, and then she was the first women's champion and tag team champion, like, of NXT. And it's like, okay, I wish I would have been building these accolades, like, the whole time. Just kept those accolades going, you know? Gives her a little more prestige instead of, well, she was a tag team champion and her partner's hurt, so she's going to fight Raquel Gonzalez. Like, well, okay. Like, because there's no chance in hell she's beating her. Because they're not bringing Raquel Gonzalez up yet. There's no chance. Well, all right, I'm sorry. Whenever you mention WWE, you can never say no chance, because something could happen. So, because they may see, like, oh, who's this big, like, Vince McMahon, who's this big woman? Oh, she was, you know, she was a Bianca, and she's with this? Oh, we got to get her up here. Like, Because apparently, and I know we got to wrap up, but apparently, like, Bruce Mitchell and a bunch of other guys from WWE were down at the PC scouting talent.
Especially with the women, it is desperately needed. Chris and I talked about that on the other show. I believe my body count was 7 women on Raw total. And a more reasonable total of 11 on SmackDown. Or no, it was the other way around. 7 on SmackDown, 11 on Raw.
Dang.
Yeah, just 11 is enough to sustain a singles division. 7 is not enough at all.
Well, 7's for a 2-hour show, though.
Well, I think 2 of them on top of that are Tamina and Natalya. So that really take, because we kind of jumped off the Liv Morgan losing to Carmella. Because we're like, well, Carmella's lost to Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks recently. And I don't think she got by it, nor should she really get by Bayley.
Yeah.
What purpose did her win serve this past week? Like, I don't know.
I'm telling you, man, every time you see something like that happen with Liv Morgan just losing clean, I go, is she next?
Oh.
So, anytime you see this stuff, I automatically assume someone's getting let go soon, because tomorrow's Thursday. Almost time.
Yep. So. We'll see, I suppose. No bloodletting yet this week.
Yeah, but I'm still going to watch, obviously still going to watch In Your House. Because regardless of how the booking's gone, the matches are going to be awesome. So it doesn't matter.
And that does help a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So, I know we're way over time. We got to get out of here.
Well, Bell Time Beer on my end, Saucy Brew Works. Out of Cleveland, they now have a brew pub here in Columbus. Mr. Stone's Double Oat Stout. It is a nice classic kind of style stout. It is one that the wife will not like because it doesn't punch you in the face like a Russian Imperial Stout. It's just a nice, smooth drinking beer, and it's a collab with the Beer Gang. Not sure who that is, but I believe that these guys have a pretty wide reach. So if you get a chance to have them, anyone in the listening region, Saucy Brew Works, some pretty solid beers, especially the Double Oat Stout here. Anything on your end, sir?
Yeah, I'm drinking from Red Clay Cider Works again, Charlotte. This is a cider. You can get it from Cider Works. This is the Lavberry Beret. Yes, it's supposed to sound like raspberry, but it's lavender raspberry in honor of Prince's birthday. So the raspberry has a little raspberry beret on it, or purple beret. You can see, it's pink, purple's this thing. They're killing it with their special releases. This one's ridiculously good. I did not have the raspberry crumble because I already had Lavberry before we started, so you can't mix those. The crumble series, they mix with vanilla and cinnamon to try and make them like a crumble, like a pie.
Oh, yeah.
So, some of them, if they bring the peach one back, wait, do you like peaches?
Yeah.
I will make sure I get you some.
Yeah, it goes down love like peach.
Candy. All of these go down like candy. That peach one especially, just watch out, because I'm doing this in the dark, so I can't see. But I'm trying to see what the ABV is. This is 7%. It doesn't taste like it should be 7%. That's always the problem, and that's why we try to walk all the time now. So, but good people, great cider. It's not like your goddamn Angry Orchard where they just sugar the shit out of the thing and try to make it taste not awful. So, anyways, that's my thing.
Okie doke. At Defrang 11, at Granny Maze, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. You can download us at any of a number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher. There's a whole host of hosts that you can download this podcast from. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.